And thanks very much. Now, we've been reporting this week on the work of social enterprises, companies that aim to be of some social use beyond producing a profit. But what happens if a social enterprise becomes so successful that venture capitalists want to take it over, possibly making its founders very rich? What happens if the enterprise has to hire expensive specialists to help it succeed? How much should it be prepared to pay them? Charlotte Ashton reports now on the last of her visits to companies that have been identified by NESTA, the National Endowment for Science, Technology and the Arts, as doing the most innovative work.
Mrs. Collins had a haberdashery shop. I don't know, you know the tapas bar?
Yeah, I think I do, actually.
It was about two shops.
In a community centre in East London, Gloria, in her 70s, shows 22-year-old Miles a photo of the shop her aunt ran.
My wife bought a silver cross. They were all the rage.
Johnny shows 24-year-old Vicky pictures of his children from the 60s. Vi, also in her 70s, and Charlie, 23, are really getting it off.
You take after your mum, honestly. I don't mean that you're ugly. No, but that's what they said
about. It's all been organised by a social enterprise called We Are What We Do to promote their latest product, an online archive called History Pin. Afterwards, the young people will scan and upload the old photos with details of the stories behind them. It's a whole new way of collecting history, but the real purpose is to get different generations talking to each other, because that, says CEO Nick Stanhope, makes communities stronger.
We had this test called the 16-year-old boy test, which is basically that you stuck up an old picture in front of a group of 16-year-old boys and they'd shrug their shoulders and get back to their Xbox. But then if you started doing things like overlaying old pictures and new pictures and fading between the two, using an app to kind of show an augmented reality of the surrounding area, suddenly, and the stories and the people, the kind of gatekeepers to that history, suddenly become much more exciting and relevant and something they kind of gravitate towards.
Is there any evidence to suggest it's passing the 16-year-old boy test?
Yes.
Out of
yes.
A controlled environment?
Obviously, we're only kind of 6-7 months in, so we're just getting to know our users. But what we do know is that in hundreds of communities all over the world, and this is, you know, often through Twitter and Facebook and things that we find out about these projects going on, there are groups of people coming together to scan and digitize and share stories and record stories. So the younger people become kind of the digital archivists and want to populate the map, and it's kind of, you know, there's a gaming element to that, the most pins on the map in your area. And then the stories and the photographs and the content are coming from older generations.
We Are What We Do is the company behind the I Am Not a Plastic Bag craze that had people queuing out the door in 2007. They were material shopping bags by designer Anya Highmarsh. They cost only a fiver and soon became a fashion must-have.
The success in the bag was really that it wasn't about convincing people to decline plastic bags. It was about making behaviour which had been alternative much more mainstream. Suddenly, kind of, Keira Knightley and Lily Allen were doing it, and it was on every newspaper. We worked very close with Sainsbury's and saw a decline of about just under 50% in 2 years, which was amazing. Now, the use of plastic bags has climbed almost back up to 2007 levels, and we see what was missing was that having established very strong popular consensus of this new behaviour, it had to become instituted either by a voluntary agreement of all the major supermarkets to say, OK, that's enough of bags now, or by government saying, right, at this point we tax, we ban, we do something. If they had been instituted, I don't think people would have complained too much. Now, people, if you started charging for plastic bags in the middle of a recession, all that kind of stuff, it's much more controversial, much harder to institute. Because it is a relatively small environmental issue, if there was something that was going to slip off the table, plastic bags is kind of okay, and we've learned so much from it. We can take that learning and apply it to other bigger things.
And the bigger thing they're trying to do here is build new relationships.
It's like to go and play football.
Yeah. And is there anything that changed massively over the years?
Yeah, the camaraderie has gone out of it.
My name is Freddie Norton, and I'm 24, and I grew up in Hackney, so not far, and just it's genuinely been completely interesting. And they're also, I mean, it's a great group of people, and they're really fun, and, you know, some of them are quite naughty. It's great. I mean, you know, they're not any different, really. They're just exactly the same, but have a bit more experience, I suppose.
History Pin's growth has been strong. 3.5 million visitors, 75,000 uploads in its first 6 months. It's getting Nick Stanhope the attention of venture capitalists.
History Pin particularly has had a lot of offers from venture capitalists because the growth has been so fast, and they see a lot of potential for it to potentially be monetized, but that's not the kind of business we are, and the purpose of the business changes always.
And there are questions, too, about pay.
We have a 1-to-4 principle that we do, which is the top can be paid no more than 4 times the bottom. We've now got a decision to make about whether we break our salary structure and bring in people on way more than me, because the best tech people cost that much money. And I would probably say that, actually, if you want the best people doing really impactful work, then you're going to have to pay them more than we are at the moment.
As social enterprise continues to grow, these commercial issues will creep ever further into public space. And it leaves one burning question. Could it make the most successful social entrepreneurs, the Nick Stanhopes of this world, very, very rich?
I actually don't. I hope not. I think that idea of people making money out of this stuff, you know, kind of genuine wealth generation and profits and dividends, I'm actually uncomfortable with. And not because I've got a problem with, you know, I'm not anti-capitalist in the least, and I don't have a problem with shareholders and any of those models within the corporate private sector. What I do think is there are certain things that are too important to make money from, to make rich people richer.
That was Nick Stanhope of We Are What We Do, ending that report by Charlotte Ashton. And if you want to see our contribution to History Pin, you'll find a link on our Facebook page. Now, if you are a